Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're in the book of Joshua. We're going to Joshua chapter 9. And tonight, when we talk about the heart of a conqueror and the things that it takes, we want to conquer the land and we want to see God move in our lives and want to take territory from the enemy. Maybe you didn't grow up in church and you're like, I don't even know what that means. Maybe for you, you see it like this. God, I know you want to do that, but that seems impossible. Or God, I see that you want to do this in my life. Maybe you come from a family where much was not happening, and you're like, but I feel like God has a plan for my life. He's got a call in my life, and that means going to college, and that means getting a degree, and that means doing a lot of things that don't happen in my family. Whatever that is, whatever that calling is, maybe God's calling you into ministry, and you're like, man, I've just come out of all this junk. How could God be calling me to ministry? Let me tell you, that is from God. And if you say, God, I believe you can do it, and I'm going to start to walk in your ways, you'll see God do what you could never do. And so that's what this series is all about. And tonight we're going to talk about the key to being a heart of a conqueror. And so we talked about the law of first things. We talked about the shout of victory. We talked about being strong in the Lord, amongst other things. But tonight we're going to talk about seeking God. Seeking God. If you want to have the heart of a conqueror, then you have to seek God. Now, we're not talking about seeking God in just the general sense, like, hey, everybody, we have to all be seeking God ongoing, which is definitely something we need to be doing as believers. We need to be in the Word of God, and we need to be around the people of God, and we need to be worshiping God. But we're talking tonight about seeking God when it comes to inquiring of the Lord. Asking God what he thinks, asking God to speak into our lives when we're going to make a decision. Because as we're going to see in the story that we're looking at tonight, as we start to take steps towards what God has for us, there's going to be opposition. And when that opposition comes, if we're not inquiring of the Lord, then we're going to be making decisions that without God's help and direction could affect us long-term negatively. And as you and I are walking, I mean, honestly, we make so many decisions as people. I know that's not news to anybody, but there's so many big decisions that are happening, and we can get confident in our own ability and forget that waiting on God is the most important thing. And if we wait on God, we're gonna see him move and we're gonna see him work, but if we don't, then there can be consequences that are attached to that because we don't know everything, we don't see everything. And so I wanna read this story to you. It's a great story. You probably, honestly, if you haven't read much of Joshua, you may not have heard it, so enjoy. Story time with Brandon, here we go.
As soon as all the kings who were beyond the Jordan.
Have you ever, no, I shouldn't say it. No. I'm not gonna say it. But listen, there's a certain book that the reader reads like this.
As soon as all the kings were beyond the Jordan.
And I'm like, I can't even handle that, you know?
So I'm gonna try to read my normal voice. That was negative, I apologize.
As soon as all the kings were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and the lowland along the coast of the Great Sea toward Lebanon, as soon as the kings, all those kings heard of this, and that meaning the conquering of Ai, and it lists all the kings, and we can read it on here, so I'll read with you. Heard of this, they gathered together as one against Joshua and Israel. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they, on their part, acted with cunning and went and made ready provisions and took worn-out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended, and worn-out patched sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes. And so what they're doing is they're going to try to trick Israel. And all their provisions were dry and crumbly. And they went to Joshua into the camp at Gilgal and said to him with the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country. Now make a covenant with us." But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you live among us. How can we make a covenant with you?" And they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" And they said, "From a very distant country, your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God.
For we have heard a report of him and all that he did to Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtoreth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country said to us, take provisions in your hand for the journey and go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Come now, make a covenant with us. Here's our bread. It was still warm when we took it from our house for food, but on from our houses as our food for the journey on the day we set out to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and crumbly. These wineskins, when we filled them, were new, and behold, they have burst, and these garments and sandals of ours are worn out from the very long journey. And so they're basically setting this up to say, hey, look at this. Look at all this, you know, all our stuff is just worn out. And will you make a treaty with us? And so this is the key verse. I want you to pay attention to this next verse. It says, so the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask for counsel from the Lord. And so what happens is they make this treaty with the Gibeonites, and that sets up a whole string of problems for them. In that key verse, they took their provisions, but didn't seek counsel from the Lord. And so what happens is then, first of all, Israel is upset about it, and then they have to come up with a plan for it, and there's generations that are literally affected by this one decision where the leaders didn't receive counsel from the Lord. And so tonight I want to look at a few key principles from this that will help us, if we want to have the heart of a conqueror, seek counsel and think through the things in our life where God may be speaking to you and saying, hey, you need to stop and you need to wait on me. You need to seek me for this because I want to help you. So the first thing I want you to see tonight is seek God, especially if the pressure's on. Seek God, especially if the pressure's on. You notice in verse 1, as soon as all the kings who were beyond the Jordan and the hill country and the lowland, all the coast and the great sea toward Lebanon heard of this, they gathered together as one to fight against Joshua and Israel. What the writer is doing is he's setting us up to say, okay, there's a bit of pressure on now for them. You know, when they come into the land, nobody knows they're coming. Nobody knows what's going on. And so initially, that sort of anonymity allows them to move forward without any intimidation. And I'll just tell you this, if you're ever going to do something for God, then you're going to find that as you start to take a step, it's one thing to think about doing it, right? It's one thing to think, you know what, I'm going to stop hanging out with these people and I'm going to stop going to those places because I want to honor the Lord. It's one thing to think about it, but once you start taking steps that way, once you start saying, God, I'm going to honor you with my marriage. God, I'm going to honor you at my job. God, I'm going to honor you where you've put me. Once you start taking the steps, that's when you start seeing the opposition, isn't it? And you know what? If you haven't taken any steps for God, I just want to put a little sign on that for you. It doesn't mean don't take them, but just expect the fact that when you start living for God, it ain't all a bed of roses. Sometimes there's a little opposition that comes with that. But that opposition for them creates a pressure that causes them that now they're in like conqueror mode, you know, they're in battle mode. And so they're in the middle of the fight. And when you're in the middle of the fight, that pressure causes you to think, man, we got to move fast and we got to make quick, good decisions because we're under pressure. And if we don't move quick and make things happen, then we're not going to make it. You know, I think that's exactly how it works. You know, maybe in your job, if you're experiencing pressure, you're like, man, I don't have time to like, you know, be sitting around. I got to make some decisions because this is barreling down on me. And if we don't meet this deadline, all these bad things, this bad chain of reaction is going to happen. Man, we got this pressure that's happening. But I want to encourage you when those moments happen, when you're under pressure, that's the time when you can't let that pressure push you past what's most important, and that's seeking God in those moments. You literally have to say, God, this is more important than hitting the deadline. God, this is more important than us having extra time to work on it. God, this is more important than what I think or me trying to get this, just get past this, get this pressure off of me. God, before I do anything, I am going to seek you. And that's really hard. But honestly, I see that in those moments as an offering to the Lord.
Because when you're under pressure, what's the most important thing, most important asset that you have when you're under pressure? It's time. And so when you say, God, I'm gonna give you time when I don't have any time, and I feel like there's 10,000 things I could be doing. Every time I lay my head on the pillow, I just keep thinking of all the things I need to do. But God, there is nothing more important than your blessing and your leadership in this. And I don't wanna make a decision. I have this decision, Lord, that I feel like I need to make, but I don't wanna make a decision before I ask you. That honors the Lord. It really ties into giving God even the first, you know, it's just saying, God, before I do anything else, I'm gonna ask you. And if you wanna be a conqueror, you wanna see God work in your life, then you have to seek God even when you're under pressure. The Israelites are now feeling the pressure of nations allying against them. And so when they see somebody who wants to come and be their friend, they're just kind of like taking it, you know? They're like, man, we need all the friends we can get. So we're gonna just take this one, you know? But they don't inquire of the Lord because they're under pressure. I wanna encourage you, you know, pressure can come, you know, we talk about the job, but pressure can come. Maybe you're in a situation where you're single and you're feeling pressure. You're like, man, I feel like the single clock is ticking and I feel like I just need to make something happen. And I just wanna encourage you to not let that pressure get to you, but to say, God, every time I'm gonna seek you and I'm just gonna wait on you because the Lord will help you in that. And don't let the pressure keep you from seeking God, because God will help you if you put him first, and he'll help you be a conqueror, even though it doesn't seem like you can't see how you can work it out. God will help you, okay? So that's number one. Number two, seek God when it looks like a good thing. It looks like a good thing. So you gotta seek God even when it looks like a good thing. You're like, but it is a good thing. I know it's a good thing. And I think that's exactly how they had to feel when these people came, because they're like, man, these people are from far away. You're like, you know, this is good. Like, we need friends. And like, these people wanna be our friend. And they're like from really far away. So they're not anybody that we're gonna have to fight. And this seemed like a really good thing. In fact, we're gonna read it right here. It said, they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? And they said, from a very, very far away place. Like, we're so far, man, you can never get to us. Now listen, people, these people live 25 miles away, all right? So they are lying, okay? So they're like, we're from a very distant country. That sounds like a lie to me when I read it. You know, he's like we're so far, I can't even name it. I forgot where we live. It's like so far away. And your servants have come because the name of the Lord your God. Now, I just wanna tell you, when you want something, you hear what you wanna hear. So when you want something, you hear what you want to hear. And so you're like, man, shoot, I didn't know there was another nation that served the Lord. By golly, I thought we were the only ones, but these guys obviously do. The Lord your God. You know what I'm going to tell you? Like, let's go back to the single thing for a second, because you're on my heart, single people. All right, so listen, just because they sound spiritual, I'm getting some claps because it's true. Baby, I just love Jesus. I just love Jesus. I know you want me to go, baby. I know it's 11 o'clock, but I just want to do our devotions right now with you. That's a lie, right? That's a lie. But that's what they're doing. They're using spiritual language. And they're using that to deceive them. But if we're not following the Lord, if you're not following the Lord, and honestly, you're under pressure, you're vulnerable, whatever that situation may be, then you're gonna hear that and you're gonna believe it, because you didn't stop and say, God, I'm not just gonna rest on like the daily bread spiritual discernment. I need to ask you to speak to me. And so it looked like a good thing. You know, you think of hiring people, if maybe in your job you hire people
And there's times when you have a role, maybe you run your own business and you're like, man, we just need to fill this sales role because last year we didn't have this person and man, our sales were down. And so you're just looking for a warm body and anybody that says, I love sales, you're like, you're hired, all right? So you need to stop and you need to ask the Lord. It's a big decision. And God can help give you discernment. All of a sudden you'll see something in the application that you didn't see. All of a sudden, you'll be like, man, that really makes me feel uncomfortable. And I don't know why it makes me feel uncomfortable. But you've asked God, and God can use the Holy Spirit. He can use people. He can use all sorts of things. If you ask him to speak to you and you're open to what he has to say, then he will speak to you. But don't just go on it because it seems like a good thing. And honestly, the next thing we're going to see is a real feeder of that. And that's the idea that you gotta seek God even if you experience a little success. Because you're gonna be like, if you've experienced a little success, you're gonna be like, you know what, I have an eye for good people. I just do, I pick them, I pick good people. You're like, that's a good person right there. That's great that you pick good people, but you don't know everything. And you have to say, God, I thank you, Lord, that you've helped me. You've given us good people so far, but God, I don't know everything. And God, I want to rely on you and I want to seek you. And God, I need you to speak to me about this. Israel has had some successes. And whenever you have success, I mean, it's implied in this passage that if they would have sought God, he would have told them. If they would have just sought God and not relied on their own intuition, but said, I'm gonna rely on the Lord, even though it looks good. But, you know, a little success has a way of blinding you and making you have pride to think, well, I just know. I don't know how I know, I just know. And God's just looking at you like, Joker, you were like crying out to me before that last success, you know? Don't tell me you just know. But you know he thinks that. And that little bit of success, I want you to see something. In verse 1, it says this. It says, as soon as all the kings had heard of this, and the inhabitants of Gibeah heard. What's it saying? It's saying they heard there's a reputation that's been built. You know, the word's getting out on you Israelites, you know? So then what look at what they do. Watch this. They said to Joshua, we are your servants. No, they're not. Your servants have come. We have heard. And then if you go to the next slide, it says, we are your servants, make a covenant with us. What are they doing to them? They're taking that reputation and they're using that flattering ego language. They're not their servants. They don't even know them. But it's funny how in the context of the story, they believe it. They believe it. They believe what's not true because they like what they're hearing. And success will do that to you where you don't have the urgency to rely on the Lord. Maybe you relied on the Lord in the past, but you've had a few successes and you're like, I don't know if I need to rely on the Lord anymore. I think I got this. Like, I think I'm really good. Like, I think we're good. And I'm telling you, if you want to see spiritual growth and spiritual impact and spiritual, God do supernatural things, then you're going to have to rely on the Lord and continue to do that and stay humble, even when God gives you success, because God is going to help you and you're going to have success when you rely and seek him, but you have to continue to stay humble and rely on the Lord. You have to say, God, I want you to speak to me, even though God, I feel like I know what to do in this situation. God, I'm gonna still rely on you. And if they would have done that, it would have saved them a lot of heartache. It would have saved them a lot of trouble. And as you're walking through life, maybe you're gonna purchase a house or whatever that is. Maybe you've made some really good real estate decisions. Before you go into the next one, inquire of the Lord. Say, God, is this a good deal? God, is this even what you want us to do? Because it can be an actual good deal. But it may not be what the Lord wants for you. And you have to be humble enough to say, God, you know, I'm not just inquiring of you to see if this is a good thing. I'm inquiring to see if this is even something you want us to do. Is this even someplace you want me to go? Is this a job you want me to take? because God will speak to you, and maybe it's not, maybe he has something better for you. You don't know what he knows. He knows you. But the truth and the fact of the matter is, the Bible says those who seek him find him when they seek him with all their heart. And God wants to bless you, and he wants to help you, and he wants you to be a conqueror, but he also wants you to be a person that relies on him. And there's a power and a grace that comes into our life when we rely on him. And honestly, there's spiritual consequences when we don't, especially for big decisions that we're making, especially when we're going to go down a path that can affect our life. And we have to say, God, and we don't take the time to ask him. If we don't take the time to ask him, there can be spiritual consequences that come from that that we didn't see, or just negative things. You know, you think of hiring people, or you think of, or maybe a relationship. Honestly, if God's put a check in your spirit, inquire of the Lord so you don't get into a long-term relationship that you can't get out of, maybe because you get married, and honestly, you will not be able to get out of that without a divorce, and that's not gonna honor the Lord. So you really need to think about that. And you really need to ask God to help you. Maybe you're gonna move. If you're grounded and you have spiritual people around you who love the Lord and you have a good network of people who love God, think twice before you move for a bigger paycheck. And I know this is like serious stuff, like it can be heavy, but that's what this passage is saying. And if I don't apply it like that, you won't be able to see it, because it's not just like, oh yeah, I should think about asking God about that. No, it's like, God really cares about what's going on in your life. And if you ask him, he will help you. But if you don't, you're on your own. And we see through a glass darkly, and we don't have all the answers. And oftentimes, you know, we work in the church, and so you meet people and they seem spiritual. But over time you find out, man, there's things happening underneath the surface, and you have to have a spiritual discernment, but that takes relying on the Lord. And God wants to help you, wants to give you that grace. And finally, seek God so you don't damage your future. It cost Israel part of their inheritance when this happened. And it cost, honestly, a loss. It created more problems than it did answers. It seemed like a quick solution, but it created more issues. You see this at the end of the 3 days after they made the covenant with them, so they go ahead and make it. They find out that they're neighbors and that they lived among them, and that the people of Israel set out and reached their cities in 3 days. So 25 miles. But the people of Israel did not attack them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord their God. And then all the congregation murmured against the leaders. So what's happening is instantly there's a disunity that comes out of this. There's a frustration. There's honestly a lack of, or a loss of influence for the leadership that all comes out of this. There's a loss of momentum, a loss of influence. Man, I thought we were going to take the land, and now these people are 3 miles. How many other people are you going to make a covenant with that are 3 miles away? What a terrible decision, you know? That's the kind of thing, that negativity that happens out of that. But all the leaders said to the congregation, we've sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This we will not do to them. Let them live, lest the wrath be upon us because of the oath that we swore to them. And the leaders said to them, let them live. So they became cutters of wood and drawers of water for all the congregation, just as the leaders had said of them. So they make them basically servants, and they try to fix the problem. They try to fix it. They're like, okay, we didn't honor the Lord, so we're gonna try to fix this. And you see, this affects generations of people in Israel. It's interesting when you get to the story of King David, maybe it's a story you're familiar with. We hear of the Gibeonites again. And why we hear about them is Saul, the king before David, had tried to, like, you know what, this Gibeonite thing, it's a problem, and we should have wiped them out a long time ago. So he goes and tries to wipe them out to accomplish what he thought, you know, trying to be like a problem solver. And honestly, they had sworn before God that they weren't gonna do that. And so that creates even more problems. And it just seems like the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to the problems that come out of it. And so David has to make a deal with the Gibeonites, and basically a repentance deal with them, to say, hey, we're sorry, and we know in order to stop, there's a famine that comes on the land. It's just a bad deal. And I would read the story. We have it ready, but I think you get the picture. And the fact of the matter is, there are things in each one of our lives that God wants to do, places he wants us to conquer, and we have to seek God every single step of the way and inquire of the Lord and say, God, I want to know what you want to say. But the great thing is, if we do that, God will speak to us, and God will answer you, and God will help you, and God will put, that takes a humility, but God will put checks in your spirit. He'll put signs along the way. He'll put people in your life. If you just inquire of him and say, God, I'm not going until I have a peace from you and a word from you about this situation, then God will help you. And all you have to do is ask. But let's be people that, if we're gonna be conquerors, that aren't gonna go our own way or get let the pressure get to us, but let's be people that seek God and see him do what only he can do, amen?